Good morning. Got a great day today to worship our Lord. Every day is a great day to worship our Lord. I thank Jason for the songs he's led about our Lord this morning, and I thank Mike for bringing our minds to the real reason why we're here. The core of everything is the cross of Christ, which we just remembered. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is the good news. And we've been talking about the problems of accepting worldly things. And as William just read, the standard of it all is the Word of God. No matter what you hear or what you see, the standard is the Word of God. And in the times that I've spoken, we've gone back and studied foundational teachings. And I've said over and over, I'm not going to say anything that you don't know. Because we're talking about fundamental things, the foundation of Christianity. What brings us to Christ, what makes us Christians, the purpose of being Christians. And we started by talking about the fact of this world going into universalism, which believes that all religions can be saved. We talked about liberalism, which believes that everybody's opinion and idea is just as good as ours is. We talked about liberalism, which is the big thing, which means that whatever you believe is truth for you. Truth for me might not be truth for you. And all of that is the deceit of Satan. All of that might be true if there were no God. But if there is a God, none of that is true. Because our Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, either that is absolute truth, or Jesus was the biggest deceiver that was ever born on this earth. He tells us that he is God incarnate. And as William said, he didn't speak from himself, but the things in which he spoke was the commandment of the Father. And he says, I know that his word is eternal life. We talked about the deceit of Satan through those things and the fact that God speaks just the opposite. He is the way. There is no other way. He is the truth. There is no other truth. He is the life, and there is no other life. It's all in Jesus and what he did for us. The last time we talked about coming to this Jesus, how we come to Jesus, what is done in coming to Jesus, and that ends up by bringing us to baptism. And today I want to take one more time and talk about basic rudimental things. Baptism. Now, baptism isn't the most important thing to talk about. God in Jesus is the most important thing to talk about. Amen. But just the same, baptism is critically important because its heart is centered in our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all of them have given baptism a central place in Christianity. God is the author of baptism, not man. God is the one that commanded baptism, and God is the one that taught baptism throughout the New Testament time. God's commandments and his truth always relate to life and having a more abundant life. Jesus says, I came to bring life and that more abundantly, John 10:10. Jesus didn't come to restrict us. Jesus came to give us life. Everything God says is about life. And baptism isn't a modern teaching. Baptism is a New Testament teaching. Our Lord Jesus was baptized to bring to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord Jesus baptized multitudes, thousands of people in John 4 by his disciples. And the last thing Jesus says after what we just remembered, after his death and his burial and his resurrection, before he ascends into heaven, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The last words he says is to baptize nations. That makes baptism very important. In the New Testament times, you read through the book, in the New Testament times, nobody argued about it. They just called them to baptism and they did it. It was just accepted fact as that's the way into Christianity. Writers, theologians, three authors, Beasley, Murray, and Shackelford, wrote the book called Believer's Baptism. And in that book, they say, to limit baptism is to say, by saying it isn't required, is unknown by Paul. They say on that, to him, it is for every man the regular means of becoming a Christian. Therefore, baptism is a significant matter. We shouldn't pretend it otherwise, and we couldn't let anybody know that we think otherwise. Nothing that Jesus is involved in is to be taken lightly. These are the words of Jesus. And what he said. In review, we want to quickly review things that you know about baptism to lay the groundwork, to remind us of the things that we know. Paul spoke of Peter, said he's always ready to bring to your remembrance the things that you know. Paul says the things that I write are for your good. They're not irksome to me, but they're for your benefit. The things that you know you need to be reminded, we human beings forget easy. And then we hear all this stuff that comes in from various ways and we drift away. So we need to be reminded over and over. We want to talk about the definition, the action, and the purpose, which you all know. But we'll talk about those things quickly. We're looking at a point of time when the faith brings us to a point of obedience, which brings salvation. There is one baptism, Ephesians 4:4-6, tells us there is one body that, as Mike said, is the church. There's one body, there's one spirit, there's one hope of your calling wherein you were called, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father who's over all, through all, and in all. There's one baptism. We read about John's baptism, and we read about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But John's baptism, John's whole ministry was under the old covenant, the Mosaical covenant, which was nailed to the cross and brought in a new one. At the time of Christ's crucifixion, John's baptism was no longer valid. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something you're asked to obey. That is a promise. John the Baptist and Jesus both promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not the one baptism that he's talking about. Baptism defined by verb or by noun is the word which we get to baptize or baptism. The meaning is to immerse. The meaning is immersion. It is to be put under. Vine's expository dictionary said of the noun baptisma, it is a process of immersion. It is to submerge something. He says of the verb, it means to dip. It was used of the Greeks for the dyeing of their garments. How much of a garment do you need to get under the dye before it's dyed? The whole thing. And that's the meaning that he uses. Sprinkling and pouring are both biblical words. God knew the word for sprinkling, and he didn't use it. He used baptize. God knew the word for pouring. It's used 28 times in the New Testament. He didn't use that word. He used baptize. God said exactly what he meant to say. The action is immersion. That is the meaning of the word immersion, and we don't even have to go to the dictionary to find out the meaning of baptism. In Romans 6, 3, he says, are you ignorant that as many as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? We were buried there with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. It's a burial. Colossians 4. In verse 11, he says, in whom, speaking of Christ, you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands in the putting off of the body of Christ, in the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were raised together with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. It is a burial. That's what baptism is. It is immersion. It is a burial. The purpose of it, quickly, we all know these. We've all talked about these before. But the purpose of baptism lets us know that baptism is a central and a very important part of our salvation. There can be no other way to be saved. And the scriptures tell us that. And that's the scriptures that Jesus said in the reading that William read is the standard of judgment. I don't know why that opened the whole thing. It's supposed to be one at a time. Computers. The purpose of baptism is to be saved. Jesus says, at the same time as I mentioned the last thing he said before he went to heaven, he says in the same instant in Mark 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus' own self said, baptism is for salvation. And that salvation is to make us to be born anew. Jesus in John 3 talks to Nicodemus, and he tells him, he says, except a man be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He says that this baptism brings about something so different that it's just like being born again. The only way you can describe the difference of the person that came to Christ is new birth. Nicodemus says, how can a man when he's old be born again? Can he remember into his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, depending on your translation, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says it is an impossibility to enter the kingdom of heaven without entering it through the water, and that's baptism that he's talking about. He tells you on the first day of Pentecost when the church was established and all the Jews from all these nations listened to Peter. And when he ends that sermon talking about Jesus raised from the dead, sits on the throne of David, he rules the world. He says, sums it up in verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that he has made him both Christ and Lord, this Jesus whom you crucified. And they said, they were pricked in the hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the disciples, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the remission of sins. If your sins are not remitted, There is no way for us to live eternally with God. And that takes place, Peter says, actually God said through Peter, by inspiration, that takes place at baptism, which is an immersion. It is to wash away sins when Ananias comes to Paul after he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. The Jesus in heaven revealed himself to Paul. He's blind and Ananias comes to him and he tells him in verse 16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." The only way the Bible knows to wash away sins is by baptism. It doesn't speak of any other way to wash away sins. He says in Romans 3, which we mentioned a while ago, Romans 3, it puts one into Christ. Verse 3 says, "Are you ignorant that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life." Those two verses tell us that baptism puts us in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no salvation. Jesus says, "I am the way." There is no other way. Outside of Jesus, there is no salvation. That passage tells you clearly, baptism puts you into Christ. And that's where our new life begins. No new life before baptism. He tells you in Galatians 3, very close to the same thing. Verse 26, he says, "For all sons of God through faith, for as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The word "put on" in the original language means to put on like you're putting on clothing. It hides you in Christ. Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption, according to 1 Corinthians 1:30. He is everything. And baptism puts you in Christ and clothes us in Christ. It puts us into one body, as we talked about. The first thing, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. You get in that one body by the one baptism. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, bond or slave, and made to drink of one spirit." That takes place at baptism. Colossians 2, which I mentioned a while ago, tells us that is when we put away all the body of sin. He says, "You're circumcised," in whom? Jesus. "In whom you're circumcised, with the circumcision not made with hands, and the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ." When? Having been buried with him in baptism, when you are raised by faith and working to God who raised him from the dead. That takes place, the whole body of flesh. It's not a circumcision of the Jews. The Jews took away a little bit of skin from the foreskin. But our baptism is a circumcision of the total fleshly sin. It separates us totally from sin. And 1 Peter 3, verse 21. In verse 20, it speaks of Noah and the boat that he made, whereby 8 people were saved by water. The water saved Noah. It saved him from all the wickedness of the world, which God destroyed in that flood. And he says in 21, "In true likeness does now also save you, even baptism." Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not washing our skin. It is our salvation. It says baptism saves you. And it is a cleansing of our conscience. Without baptism, there is no conscience cleared. We're still in our sins. Who is to be baptized? Did it again, the whole shot. Adults are to be baptized. Adults. And how do we know that? From what Jesus tells us and what God's word tells us. John 6, 44 and 45. Jesus says, no man comes unto me except the Father that sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And everyone that has learned from the that has heard from the Father and learned comes unto me. The only people Jesus says can come unto him are the ones that are taught. You teach adults, people that can reason, people that can hear what you're saying, people that can learn from what you're saying. It's adults that are to be baptized. He says in John 8:24. All these Jews out here, Jesus says, I say unto you, except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. Believe that I am, Jesus says, you've got to believe that I am the great I am. A depth of belief. And that doesn't take place in anybody but people that are of an age to reason. They take evidence in consideration and reason to come to a conclusion that they believe that our Lord Jesus is God incarnate, and he came for the purpose of saving us, and he is the only way of salvation. And that belief would bring us to an understanding that we want to get rid of our sins, get rid of all of our wickedness, and brings us to brings us to repentance. Repentance, the word means a change of mind. You change your mind, a belief in Jesus Christ. When you have been taught and you've heard and when you've learned, you believe in Jesus Christ, has every evidence in the world to believe that. And that brings you to a change of mind as you see this world out here. You don't want to be like the world anymore. You change your mind. You repent. He says in Luke 3, after the Jews come to him and tells him about the blood of the Galileans that Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice, Jesus says, do you think that those that died were greater sinners than the rest of Galileans? He says in verse 3, nay, I tell you, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And those 18 on whom the Tower of Babel fell in Jerusalem, you think they were greater sinners than the rest of the people in Jerusalem? He says, no. But except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. People repent when they're adults enough to see all this that we're talked about, all the evidence, come to a belief in God and make a decision. Repentance is a decision to get rid of the old life and follow the new life. And that brings us to confessing the fact of what we believe. When Peter asked the apostles, who do the world say I am? They proved that the world didn't know who he was. So he asked the apostles, who do you say that I am? And Peter made the great statement, standing before a man in the flesh and blood called Jesus. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, you are the Messiah that we Jews have been waiting for hundreds of years. You are the one that fulfills all of God's promises. You are that Christ. You are the King of Kings that Mike talked about. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of everything. And he is God incarnate. He is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Jesus says, whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. If any man denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. That confession is our total life, that we accept Jesus as our Lord. And that brings us to baptism. This dead man in his sins is going to be baptized. You baptize that man, the old dead man is buried. Just like Jesus died on the cross, he's buried. And then he is resurrected, just as Jesus was resurrected. Well, what about infants? There's no infant baptism in the Bible. Infant baptism come about by the teaching of Augustine. About 400 years after Christ, Augustine taught. And he was the one that came up with the idea of original sin, stating that a person is born with Adam's sin. A person is born, according to this Bible, in Ezekiel 18, verse 5 and in verse 4, 5 and in verse 20. It tells you clearly, the soul that sins, he shall die. The son will not receive the sins of his father, neither shall the father receive the sins of his son. But the soul that sinneth, it'll die. We don't receive anything from Adam except that the sin is coming to the world, and we, just like Adam, yield to Satan's devices and we become sinners. A child is born in this world just as innocent as Adam was created in this world. Sin is a breaking of law. 1 John 3:4 tells you that clearly. It is a law breaker who sins. Adam was not a sinner until he violated the law that God gave him. The day you eat of this, you'll die. When a baby is born, he doesn't know law. He doesn't know anything yet. He has to be taught and come up. And then when he knows the will of God and chooses to violate that, he becomes a sinner, and not before. False teachings bring about false doctrine that follows. Therefore, sprinkling comes along. You can't bury an infant. And it teaches baptism salvation. Listen, baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you when you're baptized. But if you baptize an infant and think that that's going to remove his sins, which he doesn't have to start with, that infant does not qualify for any of the requirements to be baptized. He can't be taught. He can't hear. He can't learn. Well, maybe he can hear, but it doesn't make sense to him. He can't speak, so therefore he can't believe. He can't confess. He can't repent. He can't be immersed. Therefore, teaching gets changed because people don't adhere to what God said. God's counsel is immutable. When God made promise to Abraham, Hebrews 6, it says, but when God made promise to Abraham, when he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, in blessing I'll bless you, and multiplying I'll multiply. And thus, by patient resistance, he obtained the promise. Abraham obtained the promise by patiently waiting. For men swear by the greater, and every dispute of man is final by the oath. The oath makes final for confirmation. So verse 17 says, and God, being minded to show his abundant goodness to the heritage that receives the promise, his immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong courage. God has promised, and he interposed with an oath, two immutable things. God never changes. These things that we're talking about, those are scripture that came from God. God does not change. Malachi 3, verse 6. I, Jehovah, change not. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. There is no change with God. There is no change that takes place. We don't have time to talk about any of this. I thought this would be my last lesson on baptism. I'd have to talk about one more time about baptism. But the time's up. Consider baptism. I wanted to talk about what it means to us. We don't have time to talk about that. But baptism is a central thrust of the Bible. Jesus was baptized. He doesn't do things that's not important. Jesus baptized multitudes of people. He doesn't do that which isn't important. He commanded us to baptize all people, to bring them to Christ. Salvation is by Christ Jesus, and that when our faith brings us to come to Jesus, we take that old man and bury him. And he's raised to live a new life, totally different. If you're outside of Christ, you have no hope. And it gives no one any joy to say somebody has no hope. But our Lord Jesus and our God tells us the way that God prepared for sinful man to return to Him. And there is no other way. So if you need to come to Him, we're going to sing a song. If you need to come to Him, if you're outside of Christ and you're ready to give your life to Christ and be baptized, you can come down this morning and be baptized. Or if you need to rededicate your life, whatever we can do to help any of you on your way to heaven, come forward while we stand and sing.